show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, the third day of August 2006. As with this hour, as last, if you missed last hour, shame on you. If you came in late, well, I'm sure you had a good reason for that. My guest today, Peter Eric Hendrickson, the book Cracking the Code, the website, and you need to take a look at this, folks, losthorizons.com. Is there a way to get out of paying those infernal revenue service taxes? There is. The people that use this program, Peter, is everybody having a good time with this? Are they getting the results that you claim that they're getting? Are they getting their monies back from the IRS?
Well, first of all, I want to say that it isn't a program unless you want to characterize the congressional statutory structure as being a program.
Okay.
This is not my program. It's not, you know, some notion that I've...
All right, let me just ask the simple question. Is this legal?
Well, of course it's legal.
Okay.
This is simply a matter of knowing the law, knowing what the law says, testifying accurately, and making use of the protocols that Congress has laid out for seeing to it that correct, accurate information is in the system.
Well, it must be legal because it doesn't seem the IRS has a problem refunding monies that you've already paid in.
Oh, they have a problem. They hate doing that.
Well, they might hate doing it, but,
but they're doing it. They are doing it, yes. They're doing it over and over. Scores and scores of readers of Cracking the Code, Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America, have enjoyed complete refunds of every penny withheld from them, including Social Security, Medicare, the whole shooting match, for many years in a row now. The oldest claim made and honored goes back to 1984, all of this having been done since 2003, late 2003, when I first published the book. And, yes, the vast majority are enjoying obedient, proper, lawful behavior from the government. And this is not just the federal government, by the way. 21 state governments so far have also honored the proper invocation of the law and made refunds to readers. But, as I said, this is done not with glee and joy. No IRS person goes home at night feeling that they've done a good job because they returned property to an American that to whom it belonged and who knew how to claim it. They go home gnashing their teeth and crying into their beer over this.
Well, they should be worried about their future employment.
Absolutely.
With the IRS. All right, we'll take the break, come back with your phone calls right after this.
Do you have trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Do you wish that you had more strength and energy throughout the day? Well, North American Urban Spice has the solution. Royal Power is an all-natural and stimulant-free answer to all of your energy needs. Get energy fast and make yourself powerful. Get royal power now. Call 1-800-243-5242 for more information. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
230 years ago, our country declared its independence from the British Crown. One of the main issues was taxation without representation. Now, Aaron Russo's new film, America, Freedom to Fascism, exposes startling information on taxation, the Federal Reserve System, and the possibility that our children and grandchildren will be microchipped like cattle. Joseph Bannister, a former criminal investigator for the IRS, will tell you his shocking story. Hear what former Congressman Ron Paul says about the coming police state. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, the New Orleans Police Department went from house to house, confiscating firearms from law-abiding citizens just when they needed them the most to protect their property and their very lives. Find out more by going to www.freedomtofascism.com. Then, check the local listings for showings in your area. America, Freedom to Fascism opens Friday, July 28th in theaters near you.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
I have a question for you, Mr. Hendrickson. Is there an Achilles heel dealing with the IRS?
An Achilles heel of theirs?
Yes. Not mine. We already know the Achilles heel with the general public.
That's right. It's apathy.
Yeah.
That's the general public's Achilles heel. In the case of the IRS, there probably is. And that is the system is based entirely upon information return reports. This is one of the things that is that the beneficiaries of ignorance least want understood. It is W-2s, 1099s, K-1s, all of these information return documents that are the mechanism by which the presumptions of liability come to exist. And it is in responding to those documents, those affidavits, that Americans, anyone else, I keep saying Americans, but in the case of the potential victims of this, it includes the world population, anybody who receives income or is alleged to have received income is technically liable or potentially liable for the tax. So that is the key to this, to the whole scheme, these information returns. When they are created, they constitute the opening motion in what amounts to a judicial process. It is the first testimonial declaration. The person about whom they are created is given an opportunity to respond to them, to acknowledge them if they're true, to correct them if they're wrong, or to rebut them if they're entirely wrong. And it is that's the part that people don't know. They don't understand that W-2 is just an affidavit making testimony about them. It is declaring not only an amount paid to them, but it is declaring the legal character of that amount also. It says, I Company X, paid this many dollars to Joe Smith, and those dollars constituted the gain from engaging in a taxable activity.
You know, I am just astounded. I can see people's gears running in their heads right now. You mean I can go back to the IRS and tell them that I want my Social Security money back because I don't plan on, when I retire, first of all, that trust has been robbed so many times.
Well, there never really was one, to be perfectly honest.
Well, they had to call it something.
They had to call it something.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I could just imagine the glee in many people's hearts saying, you mean to tell me I could actually, you know, get my money back out of the Social Security system, maybe go invest it in an individual retirement account?
Returns?
Yeah.
Back 3 years, yes, and maybe more than that. In fact, the 3 years is the statutory limit for making a claim of refund of amounts erroneously collected or withheld. But a Florida district court just last summer issued a ruling, and this was followed by another district court ruling this spring to exactly the same effect, held that in a case where the money was never owed in the first place, and therefore it wasn't actually a tax, the tax-related statute does not apply, and the general federal claim statute does, and that makes it 6 years. So this is one that is probably still working its way through the appellate review process, and I wouldn't maintain that it's a done deal by any means. But at this point, two district courts have issued rulings to that effect. So it at least 3 years, perhaps six.
I want people to read your book. You can go to the website, ladies and gentlemen, losthorizons.com. The book is $19.95. For the amount of money that you're going to save people in the future and to recoup, and I'm kind of fascinated by only that three-year window that you can go back and get them to do refunds, but for $19.95, if you never have to pay another dime into the IRS, this book, consummate with what people are going to be saving, probably should go for $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh, if not more than that,
yeah.
John. You know, everybody's mileage will vary in the sense of how much they have at stake in any given time, and most are not so fortunate as the one gentleman I'm going to refer to. But the largest single refund check I have posted on the site is $75,150. That gentleman had a phenomenal return on that $20 investment, I would say.
I would say so. Now, is there a number that folks can call to order this book?
It isn't available any way other than through the website, which is to say I maintain a charge process. People can charge on their credit cards at losthorizons.com/cc.htm. That's the ordering page. I also am happy to take checks or money orders in
right.
the mail, even Federal Reserve notes, and of course gold and silver are always welcome.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, you mean real lawful money?
Real money, yeah.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do, and I'm never afraid of drawing heat to myself, because right is right and wrong is wrong. I would like the opportunity to carry this book here at the network.
I'd be happy to make arrangements with you.
Well, I would appreciate, though, people would go to the website, losthorizons.com, and purchase that book, and we'll also be carrying that book, and we'll have you back from time to time. I can just about imagine. I know you're going to be back right around April of next year, for sure. I'll have to tell my producer to do exactly that, to log you in.
That sounds fine.
Let's go back to the phones here, ladies and gentlemen. Vicki in Idaho, thank you for holding, Vicki.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
You mentioned the fair tax just briefly,
yes.
But, you know, it all sounds great getting rid of the IRS and income taxes and stuff, but people should really investigate the fair tax.
Oh, I wasn't endorsing it in my mention, Vicki. I was condemning it. It is the next worst idea to come down the pike in the sense of taxation, and in fact it would be enthusiastically embraced by the same people who are benefiting from exploitation of the income tax right now. It has
yeah.
all of the same problems and in the sense of a lack of political accountability and being a kind of an open-ended source of revenue, stream of revenue into the federal government. I absolutely do not endorse it. You know, I have said many times, and I'll take this opportunity to say again, there are numerous problems with the income tax, among them that it relies on an ignorance of the law and exploits an ignorance of the law, and it's just distasteful for that reason alone. Another, it evades the political accountability that the founders intended. They intended for the people to retain control of the purse strings, not for that power to transfer into the hands of bureaucrats. But as much as anything else, it also is a matter of them having their hands on the kind of resources that all this wealth represents. You know, John alluded earlier to the Tax Freedom Day 4 months into the year, and you know we're told in the newspapers, oh, you know, now you're working for yourself. Actually, that's not the case. The governments at all levels, federal, state, and local combined, all of which rely on the income tax to one degree or another, eat up about 45% of the national wealth. And so Tax Freedom Day, if it comes at all, in the sense of, you know, when your money is no longer being tapped to feed somebody else's interests, happens more along the lines of mid-June, but I'd be halfway content with a reform where they kept taking the money and they just burned it all or threw it in the ocean, rather than using it to finance the kind of activities that they do.
Well, and then the problem there was the money would still be taken out of your pocket, my pocket, and Joe Blow's pocket down the street. You know, it just cracked me up, Peter, when I saw these thinly veiled attempts by George Bush to make people feel better, and he was cutting people checks for $600 or this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you really want to boost the economy of the United States, do away with the Internal Revenue Service. Look how much money people would have discretionary at that point, discretionary
sure.
income that they could spend buying products, making investments, whatever else.
Sure. And theoretically, that money would be being spent in the same way that it is now. In theory, we 51% of us, at least, have agreed to all these expenditures. So why not just leave the money in our pockets? We'll spend it on these things, if that theory is true, and we'll be spared the economic friction of, you know, having it pass through the hands of the bureaucracy and all that. But, of course, the fact is we wouldn't spend it that way because 51% of us did not agree to these expenditures.
Exactly.
Congress is spending the money the way it wants to because it has an open spigot of money into the Treasury and no political accountability.
Well, they think they do. Vicki, you were going to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just want to ask one thing, and then I'll get off while you answer. Don't you think at this point the best tax would be a tax on imported goods, because that would then encourage production in this country?
A revenue tariff.
Yeah.
You mean, which is exactly what the founders set up, and it was, as I mentioned earlier, the mechanism by which all federal expenditures were financed, with rare occasional exceptions in times of dire national emergency, for 150 years. Absolutely. That's one side of the coin. And the other side of the coin, of course, is confining the federal government's expenditures to the things that are constitutionally authorized, which means that going from $2.6 trillion a year budget down to what would probably end up being about a $500 billion a year budget at today's standards.
$500 billion, that's it? I'll write you a check today. I can run
that's
the government. I can run the government
defense
for the next year for $500 billion. I think people would be absolutely elated.
Sure,
but,
as they should be.
But what we, you know, I've talked about this before, Peter. We're coming up on a break here in just a minute, but we have a problem. We have a debt problem in this country. I keep hearing repeated, it's 8.5. The Congress just upped the debt ceiling for the government, which is kind of a joke, $9 trillion. But we seem to be somewhere between $70 and $100 trillion in debt. I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Is, folks, unless the Congress gets their spigot cut off or the road of which they're bankrupting us, this is going to continue. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
We have loaded phones here. Do you want to respond to what I asked you right before the break, Peter?
Regarding the federal debt?
Yes.
Well, certainly I wholeheartedly agree with you. The unfunded liability of federal commitments and sense of retirement programs and so forth, you know, the Social Security, theoretically, as you say, a great deal more than $8.5 or $9.5 trillion. So, what's at stake in terms of federal budgetary activities is enormous. That isn't to say that those liabilities are necessarily all legitimate. I would like to think that more and more Americans are waking up to the fact, as you said you yourself a little while ago, you're not expecting Social Security when your time comes, and you certainly shouldn't. And, of course, no one actually has a vested interest in Social Security. There is no such thing as a trust account in anyone's name, and Congress could end the program, modify the program, reduce benefits, yeah, change the age limits, anything it wanted to do at any time, and it will. So, you know, we're not going to end up actually spending that $75 trillion or whatever the figure
right.
It's nominally adds up to.
Yeah, it was the Office of Management and Budget several years ago. They came out, and it was, I guess this is like a public notice. I guess they have to publish this. But they came out and said that the debts, the past, present, and future obligations of the federal government, they said it was $51 trillion. People started looking into that. And I started hearing very quickly, no, it's over $70 trillion, and it may be as much as $100 trillion. Now, using the debt money system that we use right now that was instituted for our benefit, mind you. Again, folks, this is always for our benefit, that we had the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, and since that time, they've managed to run that money system, well, pretty much into the ground. Your dollar has lost about 97% of its purchasing power.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't call that money. And we might be starting a revolution here, Peter. I mean, if they figure that the American people find out and figure that, well, the government lied to us about the income tax, geez, and our dollar through what they call inflation, which is really devaluation of the instrument.
That's right.
But if they lied to us about the IRS and my dollar's buying power has dropped off into the abyss, that, you know, maybe we need an honest money system in this country.
Indeed. A wonderful change that would represent. And in fact, you know, we actually have the beginnings of that transformation taking place even today. Probably a lot of your listeners, John, are familiar with the Liberty Dollar, which is an actual silver-backed currency that is in circulation in America today. It is a completely legal form of currency. And of course, being actually backed by silver, it is actual money. And
I actually had Von Nottinghouse or Nottinghaus or
I don't know. This would be the fellow behind this.
Yeah, I actually had him. I mean, I should look at my guest registry here. I actually had him in studio.
Yeah. Whether people take bad money or not is up to them. That's one of those realities kind of relates to what I was talking about with presumptions made under the law and the gun laws and so forth. People presume that they can't do that they have to take that paper trash. They absolutely do not. Nothing requires someone to turn over actual items of value or labor in exchange for worthless pieces of paper. We all do because we know that the next guy will take it too, and so it can be spent, and so it actually has meaningful value in a theoretical way. It doesn't have any inherent value. And so when something better comes along, like a Liberty Dollar that does have inherent value, that's obviously a preferred tender. So these things are largely within our power. It just requires coordinated activity. It requires enough people recognizing the dangers of letting this go on, and maybe, you know, that'll end up resulting in a kind of a segmentation of society.
Well, that's one thing that it's been on my mind, that I've had people tell me, well, if people want to be part of that matrix and they want to receive the government benefits and they think of it's money well spent, well, then let them pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a large segment of people that find out how fraudulent this thing has been put in place and its enforcement and all of these things. And my problem with that is that you cannot have two systems coexisting together like this.
It's not easy to do.
And my solution with the, let me finish this point.
No, please.
My solution to this, Peter, was that for all the people that are now dependent, and that's the key underscored word here, that they have become now dependent on the federal government for their Social Security, their Medicaid benefits, their Medicare benefits. We crunched the numbers one year, I think, on Medicaid alone. And the federal government literally could have written a check for $1 million to all the recipients of that year, cut them a check back for $1 million, dropped the program like a hot rock, and reminded the people, okay, so this is it. You spend your money how you want to spend it, but that's it. But that would be another redistribution of wealth, that are not entitled to that money, but it was just making a point. And what I further said about that was that we could do away with Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Just don't sign anybody up that's new on the program. Pay the existing people off that are supposedly going to receive these benefits, and then do away with the program.
No question about it. If you and you know, we spoke earlier a little bit about Aaron Russo's film America: Freedom to Fascism.
Okay, hold that thought. We got to take this break, and we got a ton of phone calls, so we'll come back. I'll let you finish out that thought. And we'll jump right back into the phones right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gold. ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Doug, if you'll finish out your thoughts prior to the break, and then we'll get back into the phone calls.
What I was saying, John, was that you were talking about people opting out of the system splitting into two societies, more or less, but the people wanting the benefits and so forth and those that don't. And I mentioned that in the beginning of Aaron Russo's new film, America, Freedom, Fascism, the first portion of the movie deals with income tax-related issues. And he goes around interviewing Americans, asking them, if you didn't have to, would you pay this tax? If you understood that you didn't have to. Nobody said, well, yes. Sure, you know, I like what's done with the money or anything like that. Every single person, of course not, are you crazy? Drop it in a heartbeat. Same thing is true of Social Security, which you were referring to a little while ago. If you asked anyone under 45 years old, anyone with a half a brain, if they would be willing to start keeping their own money and forego the quote-unquote benefits that they've been promised, you know, at age 65, none of them would choose to stick with the system. They'd be gone. They'd drop it like a hot rock. And so, yes, it could be readily ended. And the fact is, there is no constituency for this bloated Leviathan that the federal government has become.
But they're there for our benefit and our protection. And, you know, people that, well, every week when they get paid, you know, they wouldn't necessarily take a portion of that that paycheck and put it into an account or whatever. Folks, you can do automatic drafts for about anything nowadays, and you have to consciously make an effort to go get that money out of that bank or wherever that money ends up at. So there are ways to do this. And how we're being treated is as if, Peter, we're all a bunch of children that can't think for ourselves, that can't do for ourselves. We can't make investment decisions. We have no idea about business. We have no idea what to do with our money. And it's this thing that I feel that I have a paternal father in Washington, D.C., that, my God, if I don't follow the House rules, he's just going to come and kill me.
That is the sense.
I can see where the fear factor comes in with a lot of people. But I don't understand fear. Peter, I really don't understand fear. I understand what motivates it. I know what causes it. I know how to rid yourself of it. But when it comes to issues such as this, I don't understand why people, maybe here's the key. Maybe this is the key. Because not enough people have heard about what you and I are discussing. A way that you can actually recoup for the last 3 years, the monies that you paid into Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or whatever the case may be, that you could actually get that money back, and they're not going to be coming after you with a pair of handcuffs to throw you in jail to sell off all your assets to supposedly pay your debt to the IRS.
Yeah, there are two things that I'd like to say about the fear issue that you refer to. One is that ignorance is the order of the day. People have the sense you can't fight City Hall, and that it makes it not even a matter of fear, it makes it a matter of prudence, or makes it appear to be a matter of prudence. The other element of it is this. People are ill-educated in this country. They do not understand what they really should be afraid of, and that is the consequences of allowing an authoritarian, hungry state to continue to accrete power to itself, because that is the thing that ends in bloody horror. It is not, you know, being afraid of the IRS is they are a pussycat compared to the fate that lies in front of us if we don't stand up, begin insisting again on the rule of law in this country, and looking out for our own rights.
We have a much better chance with well-educated, well-informed citizens than we do a bunch of sheep out there. And I like the term that you used. I mean, you comply. It's kind of like the go along, get along. I've heard some people say, well, I pick and choose what battles I'm going to fight, and I'm not going to fight the IRS because, quite frankly, it's better for me if they just leave me alone. I mean, I've heard all the rationales out there, and quite frankly, I do not understand them at all.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that, John. You're an honorable and good American, and you obviously know what you're about.
Well, let's talk to some more honorable people here. Doug in Texas. Hello, Doug.
Yes, good day, John. Thanks for taking my call, and it's good to talk with you, Pete.
Hello, Doug.
Hello. I got 3 points, if John will allow me. First would be an endorsement. The second is a short exercise in logic. And if I may, a question of clarification on something earlier. The first one related to an endorsement is I feel like such a fool because I walked around after I had obtained the knowledge that your system existed, had researched it enough to believe that it would do everything that it said that it would do. I was still afraid, and there was some issues related with my wife and involved in it as well, but I held off for 2 years. Well, I'm glad to inform you that I overcame my fear, went forward this past year, turned in the documents, followed the process, basically, and I got all my money back, and there wasn't even a question. When the check showed up, I just couldn't believe it. It's just astounding. So thank you so much for allowing us to learn what the law is really all about and put it in the process. I appreciate it.
Doug, wasn't that liberating?
Oh, you have no idea. And I'm telling everybody that I know.
Well, Doug, I want to thank you for joining me and standing up for the rule of law, because that's really what it's all about.
Well, and the reason you're here, Peter, is because Doug insisted. He said, look, you got to have this guy on your program.
Well, thanks again then, Doug.
Yeah, that's quite all right. Now, related to an exercise in logic, I heard earlier you guys were talking about the fair tax, and there's talk about a fair tax, and there's all these different kinds of or flat and fair and all these different names they do to it. And my exercise in logic is this. If we really don't owe any kind of a tax anyway, and the government's completely able to operate off of excise taxes and all that sort of thing, and there's no real authority for them to do it, so why would we want to, through some sort of a referendum or a vote, okay, because they don't have the authority now, so why would we want to vote them the authority to create something, to replace something they don't have the authority for now?
Darn good question.
Okay. And the last thing I'd like to do is I really want to get into this, because I call it the beast, and, you know, what's the most effective way to stop or to kill or, you know, end this beast that, you know, that feeds on us all so much. And you guys were talking about this Achilles heel earlier, and I think I have a little of a sense of it, but I'm not completely sure. Are you saying it's the employers that are asking us in the beginning to fill out a W-4, and then later they send us a W-2 telling how much earnings, supposedly, that we've made, that we
not just telling you how much earnings. Those W-2s make a declaration that those earnings constituted income.
Right.
That term is legally meant.
And you're also an employee, which you're really not under the law.
Yes, and I was going to say we need to be careful about our terminology. You used the term employer, and I'm sure that you meant it in the common word,
yeah, that's right.
Which is, you know, what you'd find in the dictionary, somebody for whom somebody else works. Employer is actually a term that is defined in the law when it is being used in the context of the Internal Revenue laws, just as wages are a defined term, just as trade or business is a defined term. None of those things have the meaning that we are accustomed to give them when we are using the common expressions, the common words or phrases that they mimic. When we say trade or business and we're talking in just the common common usage, we mean Joe's Gas Station, anybody that has a business, anybody that's in business, anybody that does commercial things. In the law, trade or business is a carefully defined term, and the definition is this: the performance of the functions of a public office, period. That's all it is. That's all trade or business means in the context of the Internal Revenue laws, and the law says so clearly. That's the definition for that term or for that phrase. Employer, again, is also a defined term. So let's use company, and Doug, go ahead with your thought.
So you're saying that the employer that most of us would think of, who most people think that they're an employee working for an employer, but what is an employer as far as the tax codes says it is in their definitions compared to what we commonly think it means?
Well, an employer is one for whom employees work. An employee is the defined term in one part of the law, and that being a federal instrumentality worker, somebody who is paid for work by the federal government or a federal, state, or instrumentality, or the officer of a federal corporation. In another component of the law, there is the linchpin of that other component, which is related to the FICA income tax, the Social Security and Medicare income taxes. Employment is the key term, and that also is a defined term and has a specialized meaning that also confines it in pretty much precisely the same way, although it's a little narrower. It confines it to workers for territorial governments and federal possessions instrumentalities.
So therefore, if I'm not working for one of those instrumentalities of the federal government, then I'm not an employee, and therefore the tax doesn't apply to me at all. Is that correct?
In one aspect of the law, you would not be an employee under those certain circumstances, more or less what you're saying. In another aspect, you would not be engaged in employment, and with the same general result. I don't want to suggest that I'm saying anything definitive about that right this minute, because it is a complicated interplay of terms and statutes. It's discussed in excruciating detail in Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America, and I encourage everyone to actually read through the couple of chapters that deal with that those nuanced elements of the law. But in essence, in the larger sense, yes, what you say is true.
Great. So then the employers are the ones that are really the people that are claiming themselves to be employers and then filling out paperwork or those affidavits that they send into the government that claiming that we're also employees and receiving the income according to the statutes and everything, that's a false statement on their part. And isn't that the weakness? Isn't that the Achilles heel?
It is a false statement. Typically, those are false statements. They are made under penalty of perjury. In fact, the law actually provides a specific monetary penalty for making false statements of that kind, for creating false information returns, that starts as the floor at $5,000 per erroneous claim, and it rises based on the degree of harm that it causes to the individual about whom that form is made. So no question about it, the creation of those information returns is the key mechanism of this scheme, of the misunderstanding and the exploitation of ignorance about the law. And to stop that process, if that process were to stop, if the creation, the faulty creation of those erroneous information returns were to halt, that would be it.
Well, isn't that an enormous financial and legal risk that every business takes by...
It's a huge risk. It absolutely is. Of course, you know, it's a risk that's taken within the context of an ignorant population that has yet to learn on a large scale what's going on here, and thus has yet to act on any kind of a scale to address what's going on here. But every single one of these forms, every single one of these documents that's created that is erroneous is it is painting a bullseye on the chest of the person who signs that form under penalty of perjury, saying that everything on that form is true and complete and correct to the best of their knowledge and belief.
So
first of all, if nothing else, even with nothing else having changed, even with no change in the climate of understanding, that statement is perjurious, because those people who are signing those documents have never read the law. They have no idea whether what they're saying is true, complete, and correct at all. They have no idea. They are just doing what they are told. They are doing what some IRS bureaucrat suggested that they do in some publication or another.
Well, you know, I can see a perfect income opportunity for somebody. We have H&R Blocks. We have all these tax-assisting counselors out there. What if somebody opened up a chain out there that followed your advice in cracking the code and was promising refunds of up to 3 years to people?
Indeed.
And they would take a certain percentage of that. I think I just hit upon something.
This would not be an income-producing opportunity, though, John. This would be an earnings producing opportunity.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Hurting. Watch my words. Doug, anything else?
Yeah, just the final point related to that. So, like, a large employer, like, say, a General Motors, just an example, that has tens of thousands of employees, and potentially they're turning in false information documents to the government related to them at potentially $5,000 or more per pop. That's a huge financial risk that they put themselves in, and it occurs to me that instead of an individual, you know, just a single taxpayer trying to fight these guys, I don't have the resources, the time, or even the legal knowledge to do it, but I imagine General Motors has got a whole floor full or several floors of attorneys working for them, that if there was enough people at General Motors as employees or people working for them, a correct term, I guess, would go forward and let General Motors know that, hey, this exists, they would be forced to look into it, and their legal department, when they looked into the law, would realize, oops, we goofed, and they've got the resources to bring it up with the
they
government.
They absolutely do. Yeah. You're quite correct. Their ability to push the issue forward vastly outweighs mine. For instance,
I just wonder how CNN could get around that news story that General Motors is challenging the federal government.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a story that they have gotten around. As I have posted on the website at LostHorizons.com, the IRS admits that 7,500 companies in America do not withhold from their workers, and I have on the site a link to their notification to that effect. Their news release, sort of, memorandum that observes that fact. So there are a lot of people out there that are doing the right thing, that are adhering to the law, and yet somehow CNN does manage to miss it. But you're right.
Yeah.
If GM did this, they wouldn't be able to slide this under the rug.
Doug, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. And you would think, Ford, they're in junk bond status now. General Motors struggling for market share. Boy, you know,
they could use the boost. Huh?
Boy, I'm telling you, Mom, apple pie, and Chevrolet, buddy.
Well,
I mean, this could fly.
To finish up something that Doug didn't get to, it isn't just a matter of the downside from the illegal activity that's involved here. Those companies also pay their 7.65% for the pay of the pay or a matching amount of the pay that is paid to their workers in the form of their own FICA portion and so forth. And that is not a small piece of change
right.
to a company like GM.
Right, it's not. Hey, we've got a full bank of callers, so I'm going to ask the callers to be brief in their questions, and if you would, Peter, as brief as you can be.
I'll do my best.
I know you got a ton
That's
of information.
Hard.
But we will have you back on a recurring basis here.
Anytime, John.
All right. Gary in Texas. Hello, Gary.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Excellent content, excellent book. I am one of those who... believe the book's very logical and have filed 7 or 8 years of returns, and I'm receiving their famous 3176C frivolous letters,
sure.
and they're just not obeying the law.
Yeah, and you know,
what do I do about it?
In a minority of cases, and happily it remains a minority and actually quite a small minority of cases, people who are acting on the knowledge that they've gained are being thwarted, temporarily at least, by the only mechanism that tax agencies have to try and avoid lawful responses, and that is to treat returns as though they were not filed. And the frivolous assertion, a frivolous return is a technical term in the law. It doesn't mean a silly return or a nonsensical return. It actually is a statutorily defined aspect or characterization of a return that means a return that is on its face self-contradictory. A proper, accurate return is not self-contradictory. But as long as the service can get away with saying that it is, they can act as though that return was never filed and proceed on that basis.
So what could he do? Just ignore their letter about the frivolous thing and refile?
Two things. One, I don't tell anybody what to do in the way of filing. I don't tell anybody to file, to not file,
right.
what to put on a form, et cetera. And I don't tell anybody, you know, particularly how to respond to any particular thing.
Right.
I encourage people to respond in general. Right. I always respond to everything that I would get from that agency. I don't get anything from them anymore.
Right.
But I always believed in responding just so that presumptions can't be made. And the other large answer here is that there is a procedure called a writ of mandamus. There's a normal judicial mechanism to order executive department agencies to do their jobs. And issuing refunds of overpayments is statutorily one of the obligations of the tax agency.
Okay.
And so a writ of mandamus is an appropriate measure to consider
Gary, we've got to move along. You had something else quickly?
Real quickly. What I did is I asked, tell me what's frivolous, and that's where the communication stops.
Stop.
No response
sure.
whatsoever.
Of course. There isn't anything frivolous about it, so they have no answer for that.
There you go. Hey, by the way, thank you for your call, Gary.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Bye.
By the way, I don't know if you're aware of this. The phrase, show me the law, is showing up on the IRS's doorstep and in their emails and responses back to their office, their phone calls. What I was told recently, what they're starting to tell the people that are saying, show me the law, they're now, the IRS is now telling people that, well, this was a mandate from Congress. A mandate, mind you.
That's a nice, vague sort of thing.
Of course it is. Ken in Texas. Hello, Ken. Go ahead. You're on the air. Ken?
Oh, yes. Hello. Thank you, Peter, for taking my call.
Okay.
My very quick question was, I don't understand quite what is separating what happened to Irwin Schiff from, what you're...
filing a zero income tax return?
There's a dramatic difference. Irwin had a couple of issues. Amongst them, and just from a technical standpoint, Irwin's tax returns, his own tax returns. I can't comment about anything he may have advised anyone else to do, but his own returns, which I have seen, made this fundamental mistake. He included with his returns the assertions, the information return assertions of other people. He disputed them, but he incorporated them into his own filing. And so he made his returns self-contradictory. He incorporated the testimony saying he had received income, and yet he put zeros in the income lines on his returns. This goes back a long, long ways, by the way. I think he didn't actually have anybody creating information returns on him recently, this is an inherent contradiction. Anyone interested in that subject, go to losthorizons.com/tax/FAQ.htm. That is the frequently asked questions page. There are comments discussing Irwin Schiff's zero returns in some detail. And I also have posted on the site a discussion of Irwin's trial and also the Dick Simkinen trial, for that matter. And anyone interested in those subjects, I encourage them to go look.
Okay, we have less than 2 minutes left. Thank you, Ken. Mike in Illinois, real quickly.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. I recently became disabled, and I'm now receiving SSA disability. How does that affect our positions in this whole scheme of things?
Well, you know, if you say you're receiving a Social Security payment, Social Security payments have their very own line on a 1040, and they certainly represent a privilege, enjoying a privilege from the federal government. Again, I'm not saying what your particular circumstances are, but I think that you should bear that in mind. And in fact, that subject is discussed on the Frequently Asked Questions page. And so I would encourage you to go there and read on that.
LostHorizons.com.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much, John.
All right. Gentlemen, we are, and callers, I've got to cut off the calls. We're about out of time here. The website, LostHorizons.com, which also includes your email address, a copy of the book that, ladies and gentlemen, could save you tens of thousands of dollars into the future, with a real possibility of collecting at least 3 years of the taxes that you paid in the last 3 years, getting that money back for $19.95. Small miracles do happen, ladies and gentlemen. And, Peter, we've got to have you back. I would like to carry this book. I'll cut a commercial for it and put it on the network. I'm not afraid of putting a bullseye on my backside, because I want to stand up for the truth and righteousness that was founded in this country, that still exists, but it needs to be exercised a lot more.
You're a good man, John, and it would be my great pleasure to come talk with you again anytime, and have your producer call me, and we'll make arrangements for getting some books to you.
All right. Sounds good to me. Thank you, Mr. Hendrickson. I appreciate your time, and we'll be talking with you real soon.
Sounds good, John.
All righty. Bye-bye now. Program note here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have my producers okay on this. The economic hitman, John Perkins, he's either going to be with us tomorrow or on the 14th of this month. I'm not quite sure which day it is, but you know you always find a fascinating program and subject matter on this show, so tune in. That's all I can tell you. Tune in tomorrow, tune in Monday, tell everybody else to tune in. Where else can they hear programming such as this? Because we have one thing and one thing at heart, restoring the republic, the constitutionally limited republic, and our freedom and our liberties, our money, and everything else. We want to return to its rightful owners. That's you and me, folks. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.